Welcome to Innovation. I'm Kara Hetland here at the studios at the University of Sioux Falls. And joining me now is Bill Harris. He is president of OmegaQuant, and it's Sioux Falls Laboratory. And he's also on the USD Medical School faculty and has spent several years with Stanford Research as the director of cardiovascular health. And he has a recent study published in the Journal of Clinical Lipidology. Is that I say it right?
You're right.
Lipidology. And we're going to talk about your research and your study on omega-3 and heart health today.
Great.
So welcome back to Innovation.
Thanks. Good to be back.
Happy to have you here. And we are, the first time you were on Innovation was in 2011, and you had just developed and we're rolling out a test for omega-3 on how to test your blood to find the omega-3 levels.
Right. That's
okay.
Right.
So it's a simple finger prick.
Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. right. And one drop of blood, and you put it on a piece of filter paper, card, and drop it in the mail, and then it comes to the laboratory, which is here in Sioux Falls. And there we analyze it and send you back your results.
Okay. So just for full disclosure, you came in a couple weeks ago and we did this.
We did this test.
You took my blood. So
how'd that work out for you, Kara?
Well, we can talk about the results if you want to now, or we can wait until the end and talk about how normal I am. or we can talk about just your research in general.
Yeah,
let's start with the research and the recent study, and then we can see where I fit in.
There you go.
So you did, you took a very famous study, and let's just start there.
Yeah, we worked with a group in Boston called the Framingham Heart Study. And this is a group that's been following a large group of basically healthy Americans in a suburb of Boston called Framingham. And what they do is they basically bring everybody in at the beginning of the study and just screen their blood for everything, do questionnaires on diet, they ask them, they do cognitive function tests for, to track dementia. And then they just, every two or three years, they have them all come back in and do additional tests and then see who's developed what diseases. That's classic epidemiology research. And we've worked with this group to measure the omega-3 index, which is this blood test we were just talking about, which is really the amount of two important omega-3 fatty acids. Omega-3 fatty acids come from fish, typically. Mm-hmm. And it's the levels of these two fatty acids in your blood, in red blood cell membranes, actually, which is what we measure. And that's a really good measure of your how much fish you're eating and if you're taking supplements. Plus, there's a lot of biology in there that changes individual variability. So anyway, we measured probably about 10 years ago, around 3,000 people in Framingham measured their omega-3 index. And now as time has gone on, people have started to develop. Actually, they were about 66 years old on average at that time. So over about a seven-year period, they tracked who got sick, who died. Actually, that was the primary question. Well, who's died?
Mm-hmm.
And about 350 people out of that group had died. So the question we asked was there a relationship between the omega-3 index, which we measured obviously when they were alive, and their risk for dying during that time period? And we found that people who had the highest omega-3 index were the least likely to have died in that period of time. So a high omega-3 was predictive of a good, actually a little bit longer lifespan. So that was a finding that's, it's not really new. We saw that in a previous study, and then there's another study in Germany that showed the same thing. So this is not a surprise. A high omega-3 is something that's associated with longer life. But we also, in that study, had the opportunity to compare the omega-3 index as a predictor of risk to cholesterol. Blood cholesterol levels, which everybody knows is a risk factor for heart disease. So we had data on cholesterol in the same people that we had the omega-3 index on. And we asked if they're across the spectrum of cholesterol levels, from high to low, was there a difference in risk for death? Did people who had the highest cholesterol die, were more likely to die than people who had the lowest? And they were not. There was no relationship between risk for death over the 7-year period and their cholesterol level, but there was a relationship with the omega-3.
There was.
Yeah.
So does it, high cholesterol, high omega-3, is there?
There's no link.
No link.
They're not related to each other.
It's like your elbow and your toe.
Exactly. I never thought of it that way, but no, right. People who have high cholesterol can have a high omega-3 or lower omega-3, and vice versa. They're unrelated to each other.
But it's still, they still have an impact on cardiovascular disease.
Right, absolutely, right. And I think we get the idea that risk for heart disease or cardiovascular disease rises and falls with cholesterol, and that's it. It's, cholesterol tells the whole story, and that's certainly not true, because people can have high blood pressure, for example, mm-hmm. which puts them at high risk for heart attacks, and very normal cholesterol. Has nothing to do with it. You can another thing you can do to reduce your risk for heart attack is take aspirin, mm-hmm. which we hear about, which keeps your blood platelets from clotting too early. And but taking aspirin doesn't lower your cholesterol. So just because your cholesterol is high or low, if there's other factors, there can be other genetic factors that might increase your risk for heart disease, that is not cholesterol. So cholesterol is not the beginning and end of heart disease. It's just a factor. It's not the only factor, because the omega-3 is now another factor.
Healthy eating, lifestyle, exercise.
All that stuff. And when we talk about healthy eating in the context of the omega-3s, we're talking about eating more what we'll call oily fish, fatty fish. And that's not like fried catfish. We're not talking about that kind of oily fish. But it's salmon, mackerel, tuna, herring, sardines are all really good sources. Yeah, I know, the face you just made.
I'm sorry.
You can't help yourself. that's the problem. That's why Americans just have typically low omega-3 levels, because we just don't like to eat those kinds of fish typically.
I like the salmon. I like the tuna,
mm-hmm.
right? But yeah. How much do you have to really eat to get
you
enough?
You probably have to eat. We are doing a study right now on that question. How much do you have to eat to have a healthy, really a target level of omega-3 level? And it looks like you need to eat probably 3 times a week, a serving of salmon or any of those other fish, if like for a meal. And you need to be taking an omega-3 supplement.
That needs to be added on top to make sure you get enough.
That's what we find, that just taking even 3 meals a week is not really enough to get you to an omega-3 index of 8%. 8% is our target for good health, and eight and above.
So what do you have to look for in a supplement? I mean, what makes it the supplement for you?
Yeah. First of all, there are some, quote, omega-3 supplements out there that have none of the fish oil omega-3s in them. They're maybe typically from flaxseed oil or other plant sources of omega-3, which are not effective in raising your omega-3 index, because there's too much conversion that has to happen inside your body to those, I guess there would be lighter weight versions of omega-3. You really have to look for EPA and DHA. Those are the two. Those are acronyms, abbreviations for the two omega-3 fatty acids that are in fish oils. And that's what's in, you want to look for those in the capsule. And on the front of a bottle, it'll often say 1,000 milligrams. It means of fish oil. But that doesn't mean 1,000 milligrams of EPA and DHA, because fish oil only contains maybe, the cheap ones contain 30% EPA and DHA. So a 1,000 milligram pill of fish oil would only have a third, one of 300 milligrams of EPA, DHA. So that's a pretty low potency product. You can get pills at a variety of stores that have much more omega-3 EPA, DHA per capsule. They're just more expensive. But you don't have to take as many pills.
Oh, so you can get the 30%, but you'd have to take
three of them. Right, you can take three of them. So okay. At the end of the day, you get the same amount. And roughly the same amount of money. It's just you have to take three pills instead of one.
Okay. So you got to flip the bottle over.
Flip the bottle, look at the nutrition facts panel in the back and look for how much EPA and DHA is there per serving. And they usually say per serving, and sometimes they trick you and they say a serving is 3 pills.
Oh.
So you got to be careful.
So you got to really read.
Yeah. So then if you really want, if they do that, then you got to divide by 3 to see how much there is per capsule.
Is there an age difference? Is there a target age, or should my 15-year-old be doing this too?
Oh, I think so. I think that really all of us should be sort of mimicking the Japanese. Japanese population is an interesting example. They have some of the highest omega-3 intake, and they do that basically from minus 9 months of age. From in conception, right, on, you're exposed to a high omega-3. And their average omega-3 index is around 9 or 10%, which is well into the protective zone. And they live, on average, 4 years longer than Americans live. And Americans are like 32nd in the world for lifespan. And the Japanese are one of the longest lived. I can't necessarily attribute that to the omega-3s, but that's part of it. And so I think that's an example where we can look at all kinds of different diseases that just develop over years and years and years very slowly. And if we have a high omega-3, those diseases, I think, can be slowed down considerably and put off.
How did this become your work, your passion, your focus?
Good question. I did a PhD in nutrition at University of Minnesota in the late 70s, and was just interested in how food can heal. That's the general idea. And then after my PhD, I went and did what's called a postdoc, which is like a residency for doctors going in medicine. And during that time, I was in Portland, Oregon, and the man I worked with assigned me to do a study on salmon oil and said, I wonder what salmon oil does to, you know, blood lipid levels. So let's do this study and figure it out, because we didn't know. And so that's when I got my first involvement, and I guess my first publication was 1980 on omega-3 fatty acids. And I just stayed with that field for a long time, and it's continuing to find different uses and different roles for omega-3 in health and disease.
And different questions to answer.
Yes, yes. And now we have a blood test that can tell you where you're at, mm-hmm. and it's pretty easy to manipulate. If you're low, you can do something about it.
This is the one thing that you can really take a proactive approach.
You absolutely can, right.
And change things around.
Right. If you've got a high cholesterol, well, you typically have to take a drug to control it, mm-hmm. a statin drug of some sort. But with omega-3s, you don't have to do that. You can take food or nutritional supplement, and they're completely safe. So there's no risk to doing it. So I'd say it's kind of an ideal nutrient to study.
So not every physician, though, has bought in and agrees that this works.
This is an evolving story that's confusing. I think the omega-3s, I think, are clearly the most studied nutrient in the world in terms of numbers of publications studying it. And when that happens, you get a lot of positive studies and you get some negative studies. And it, depending on what the media happens to like to talk about, you'll hear about the negative studies. Mm-hmm. It goes in cycles. You know, for a few years, all positive studies, and then it became passe to talk about positive things, and so negative things were fun to talk about, so they talked about them, and I'm sure it'll come back around again. But right now, yeah, there's some bad press about omega-3s don't do anything, they say, which is just not true.
Okay, so I have taken the blood test, and it's a percentage scale.
Right. We express this on a percentage scale, and the percent is it's the amount of EPA and DHA that are in your blood cell membranes as a percent of the total fatty acids that are in your membranes. Mm-hmm. So there's 100% of fat. There's different kinds of fatty acids, omega-6, saturated, monounsaturated, things like that. And you add all that up and say, what percent of that total is EPA and DHA? And here, yours was?
4.04%.
4.04%, which is
I had some.
It's better than some of the vegans we've measured. Oh. That's a step in the right direction. Right. 'Cause of course, they don't eat any animal products at all. It's better than U.S. military people serving in Iraq. We did a study on them, and that's higher than they are. But that's really about average. Four or 5%, pretty much average for Americans.
Desirable is?
8%. You just need to double it. That's all.
I can do this.
You can do this. Okay. You can do this.
And I can do it with supplement and adding and more. I eat salmon.
How often do you eat salmon?
But, you know, every other week it's kind of expensive.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Tuna, albacore tuna, white tuna. Mm-hmm. It's got twice as much omega-3 as the chunk light. It's more expensive. But it's not that much more expensive.
No.
But it's a great source. And if you, people who like sardines, they'll knock it out of the park with a can of sardines. That really has a lot of omega-3.
I'm really making that
face again.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Thank goodness this is radio.
There's a reason, right?
There's a reason
I went
for
into
that.
Radio.
Yeah, yeah. So you can bring that 4% up to 8%. That would probably take about 4 or 5 months of a change in your omega-3 intake. And if you did about 1,000 to even 2,000 milligrams a day of EPA and DHA, I would bet you get up there.
I can do it. All right.
We'll see.
Yeah, you want to retest, don't you?
I want to retest.
Okay.
I want to come back here in August and do this again.
So my question is, will taking this fish oil, adding more fish into my diet, will it change other things about my health?
Well, that's interesting. There was a study published just recently that gave a pretty high dose of omega, 3.5 grams, 3,500 milligrams of EPA, DHA, to people with known heart disease. And the point was to look at the effect on the heart, and it was good on the heart. But they also, the researchers also did questionnaires about joint health, just to see, what happened. And they were looking at how many minutes a week do you exercise and how much joint pain do you have. And they found that the people that they gave the omega-3s to, as opposed to the people that got placebo, which was, inactive, had less joint pain. They had, and because of that, they exercised more because there was less. Mm-hmm. And the interesting finding was there was, in the placebo group, 11 people had joints replaced during this 2-year study. And only one person in the omega-3 group had a joint replacement, which is pretty impressive if this actually plays out in a bigger study. If you could reduce the need for joint replacement by giving omega-3, that would be financially a huge savings. So there's that. They also found in the same study that they were primarily looking at the heart. They looked at kidney and renal function, and found that renal function was actually preserved better in the people that got the omega-3. So there's other effects that people get from taking them. If you take it for the heart, it affects your whole body. Plus, we also think it, in the long run, probably reduces your risk for dementia. But that still has to be proven.
Okay. Another hypothesis, another study
for you to do. Yet another study.
Okay. Well, we will have you back on this summer.
Great.
And I promise to go buy some pills and some tuna, and
it's on the record right now.
I will go do that.
Okay. Thank you.
So thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Harris.
Enjoy it.